Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Gimel. Shmuel Aleph, Chapter 3. To recap, Chapter 2, Perek Bet. Hannah was a prophetess, a person with great insight into the glorious nature of Hashem. In the beginning, we do not hear her words or voice. She's just crying and feeling crushed. And her ordeal and anguish help her to reach out to Hashem and connect in a way that is inspiring us till this very day and change Jewish history and also how we pray. Her strength is a lesson to all of us, no matter what our personality or situation, because she starts off very reticent. The rest of the perek deals with the sons of Eli, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and the Shofet, the judge of the time. His sons are named Hophni and Pinchas, and are a stark contrast to Shmuel, who is becoming a surrogate son to Eli. Eli is Shmuel's teacher and mentor and guide. And the father's relationship with Hophni and Pinchas is very different than his relationship to Shmuel, and vice versa. Do some educators succeed better with their students than with their children? Eli's sons stab their forks into the sacrificial meat and take what they want when people come to sacrifice. And this is counter to the halakha. They also leave the women stranded at the Mishkan, the Oel Moed, the tent of the meeting, when they come to worship and sacrifice. As a result of Eli's sons' sins, Hophni and Pinchas' sins, the entire dynasty and family will be punished with early death, poverty, and ruthlessness. In our Perek, Chapter 3, in Perek Gimel, the story of Shmuel and his development unfolds. The Navi contrasts Shmuel and Bnei Eli by juxtaposing these two groups, Hophni and Pinchas on the one hand as the willful sons of Eli, and Shmuel on the other hand. The sons of Eli are always seen as doing a disservice to Hashem, being bnei Belial, without the yoke of heaven, as opposed to Shmuel, who is the misharet Hashem, the one who serves Hashem. In Perek Dalet, verse 4, Hashem calls out to Shmuel, but he thinks it's Eli. He can't believe God is appearing to him. So by the third time that Hashem calls out to Shmuel, Shmuel, Eli understands that God is speaking to Shmuel, and he tells Shmuel to respond next time with, Daber Hashem, ki shomei avdecha. Speak Hashem, because your servant hears you. This is a very wonderful and hard moment for Eli. On the one hand, his protege is receiving the word of God. Amazing, terrific, success. On the other hand, it comes at the precise moment of the utter rejection of his genetic children and future descendants. He was successful with the student, but not with his sons. When Hashem appears to Shmuel and calls out, Shmuel, Shmuel, Shmuel responds, speak, because your servant is listening. Shmuel omits the word God, according to Rashi, because Shmuel still can't believe that Hashem is speaking to him. It's a great sign of humility, and something we see in other great leaders as well. Hashem speaks to Shmuel and reiterates the vision that he spoke to Eli in the last perek about his family. But the wording is a little differently. And we're going to read verses, Psukim 11 to 14, Yud Aleph to Yud Dalet. Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, Hine anochi oseh davar b'Yisrael, asher kol shom'ot tatzilena shtei oznav. I am going to do something in Israel that anyone who hears it, their ears are going to ring. Bayomahu akim el Eli et kol asher dibarti al beito hachel vekale. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I spoke, from beginning to end. Vihigadeti lo ki shofet ani et beito adolam ba'avon asher yada ki mekalalim lahem banav velo ki habam. And I declare to him that his house will get endless punishment because he knew his sons were sinning and committing sacrilege, and he did not rebuke them. Lachen ishbati leveit Eli, im yitkaper avon beit Eli bezevach uvemincha ad olam. I swear, says Hashem, that concerning the house of Eli, that the iniquity and sin of the house of Eli will never be expiated by sacrifice or offering, by korban. Zevach uvemincha. What does it mean that Eli did not rebuke his sons? Didn't we read in the last perek, in the last chapter, that Eli said to his sons, Albanai, my sons, don't do this. The rumors that I hear are not good. So he did rebuke them. But Rashi and Ralbag, Gersonides, explain that just saying those words, and probably not saying them forcefully, are not enough. And he should have removed them from their positions and punished them publicly, and should have followed up to make sure they stopped their nefarious activities. Eli didn't give enough rebuke and didn't follow through with his sons. And what about the phrase that their sins will not be forgiven with a zevach o mincha ad olam, with a sacrifice and meal offering until the end of time? Mahari Kira, Radak, and Malbim explain, why wouldn't it be forgiven with a sacrifice and a meal offering? That because their sin, their chet, was with the offerings at the Mishkan, the tabernacle, it would be hypocritical and unjust for them to bring sacrifices which they abused and through those sacrifices to ask for forgiveness. It must be some other venue. It must be a tshuva through another means. And the commentators, Mitzudat David, in addition to Radak, Malbim, and Mahari Kara, continue and explain that they can't repent with sacrifices, but they can repent with teshuvah. And Radak especially quotes the famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that with Talmud Torah, Gemilut Chasadim, and Tefillah, they would be forgiven. If they studied Torah, did good deeds in prayer, they would be forgiven. So again, even though before it says that Hashem wishes for them or thinks that they should die, they still have a way out through tefillah, through good works, through learning. This is very comforting to us. No matter how far we stray, God is always there to hear and see our repentance and overtures if we make them sincerely, no matter what our sins. What we saw in the earlier perek, in the earlier chapter, even according to Radak, was that when they did these sins, if they don't repent, then everyone sees, oh, you can get away with anything that you want. But if they would really repent sincerely, then even their actions will be forgiven. Well, Shmuel hears the words of Hashem, and he stays there until morning, and he opens the doors of Hashem, and he's afraid to tell Eli what Hashem revealed to him. But Eli calls to Shmuel, and he says, I know Hashem spoke to you. What did he say? And Shmuel is afraid to tell him. And Eli says, don't hold back on me. Tell me every single thing Hashem told you. So Shmuel tells him, despite the difficulty of transmitting such a harsh vision to his mentor Eli about his family, he tells him everything. And Eli responds, Hashem hu hatov be'inav yaseh. Hashem is Hashem, and he will do what he seems right. Eli accepts the divine decree. It's a kind of tziduk hadin, like we see with Iyov. Hashem natan, Hashem lakach, yihi shem Hashem mevorach. Hashem gave and Hashem takes away. May the name of Hashem be blessed. Here, and of course, this is earlier, Eli responds, Hashem is Hashem. Whatever's right in his eyes, he will do. Acceptance, tziduk hadin. Should have Eli run to his sons and forcefully rebuke them and give them another chance to repent? Malbim explains that because God swears this curse, then Eli thinks that it's as good as done. However, we saw that the classic view is that there is always a chance for tshuva, even if Hashem swears that the punishment is coming. but it could take heroic action, heroic tshuva. It really takes huge action and huge effort to change that kind of decree. And the perek again ends with contrasting Shmuel with the sons of Eli. Who is Shmuel? Vaygdal Shmuel v'Hashem haya imo v'lo hipil mikol dvarav arza. Shmuel grew up with Hashem, and all of Shmuel's predictions were fulfilled. And everybody, from Dan until Beersheba, from the north to the south, everyone knows ki ne'eman Shmuel le'navi l'Hashem. They know that he is trustworthy as a prophet of Hashem. And Hashem continued to reveal himself in Shiloh, ki nigla Hashem al Shmuel b'Shiloh b'dvar Hashem. So the contrast to Hophni and Pinchas, who are losing legacy for their family because of their sins, Shmuel is the opposite. Hashem is appearing to him. Everyone knows that he is honest. Everyone knows that he's trustworthy. And everyone knows that Hashem is appearing again to Am Yisrael. Bnei Israel were losing faith in the religious structure and leadership when Hophni and Pinchas were officiating in the Mishkan because they were immoral and they abused the divine word. And that alienated Bnei Israel from the religious center of worship and sacrifice. That is probably why Elkanah had to gather people to come to Shiloh, the tabernacle, in the beginning of the book of the Sefer, because people were put off by Hophni and Pinchas' actions. They wouldn't come to the Mishkan when they would put their fork in or not respect the women. And Eli, the great judge and high priest of the time, their father, was not reprimanding them and holding them accountable. The fact that Shmuel develops as such a religious, spiritual figure that is known to all of Bnei Israel changes the religious calculus tremendously. Bnei Israel now have a reason to have faith again in the system. It is a total game changer for Am Yisrael, who experienced such alienation for generations, if not centuries. So, to sum up our perek, the story of Shmuel and his development unfolds. The Navi contrasts Shmuel and Bnei Eli by juxtaposing the two, Hophni and Pinchas on one side with Shmuel. Hophni and Pinchas, who are doing a disservice to Hashem, and Shmuel, who's doing a service to Hashem. He is Misharet Hashem, the one who serves Hashem. We see that Hashem reiterates the vision that Eli had in the last perek. Now Shmuel gets that vision of the punishment for Bnei Eli, and that their sins will not be forgiven with a zevach o b'mincha ad olam, with a sacrifice and meal offering until the end of time. And we saw that the commentators said that why can't they be forgiven with a meal offering and a sacrifice? Because their sin was with offerings and sacrificing at the Mishkan. So it would be hypocritical if they brought a sacrifice to forgive them for the terrible sins they did with sacrifice. But they could get forgiveness with other methods. They could repent. They could do vidui. They could do teshuva. They could recount their sins and really repent and turn their lives around. How could they do that? They could do that through Talmud Torah, through learning, through Gemilut Chasadim, through doing acts of charity and loving kindness, and tefillah, by prayer. This is very comforting. No matter how far we stray, no matter how bad we are, God is always there to hear and see our repentance and overtures if we are genuine and sincere. The fact that Shmuel develops as such a religious spiritual figure who is known to all of Bnei Israel changes the religious calculus tremendously. Bnei Israel now have a reason to have faith again in the system. It's a real change for Am Yisrael, who experienced such alienation for generations and centuries. But does having Shmuel as a great spiritual individual stop the tragedy that will unfold for the house of Eli and for Bnei Israel? Let's find out in the next perek, in Perek Dalet, chapter 4, what transpires. Will the sons of Eli be punished? Will only they be punished? Or will they drag Bnei Israel down with them? Let's see. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.